Blog Talk Radio.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Here we go.
Sing it again. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Welcome to Woman with yours truly, Coach Dee, and
of course, I'm Minister LaDon. Thank you guys for joining us this evening. We are so thrilled to have you here with us in the studio. We have a special guest that we're eager to present to you guys this evening. One of the things I want to share with you is that, you know, if you've been following us for the last couple of weeks, that you know that we're going to be doing a whole series on domestic domestic violence. And so for those of you who are listening, I think we all know someone who's been either affected by domestic violence or, you know, in some way, shape, or form, they've been affected by domestic violence. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if you know someone, they need to be in the studio with us this evening. They need to be listening to this broadcast. So I definitely want to encourage you to call your sisters, call your friends, call your brothers, whoever it is that you know needs help, needs support, or just needs to hear the information that God is going to be laying on our sister this evening. Please get them on the line so that they can join and, you know, join the discussion and healing can go forth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we want to, we have a very special guest in the studio on tonight. I am excited. We've been talking about her being a guest probably, she and I, almost a year. And we just have not been able to make it happen. And so now it is the perfect season. God has a perfect way of making things just on time. And so I am excited that the month of October has come along. And our special guest has agreed to be a guest and to support the month of October and share her visions and her triumphs. And also share some of her team with us for the month of October to bring awareness to domestic violence. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to some and present to the other the beautiful Tracy Evanson Norwood. Are you in the studio on tonight?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, ladies.
Welcome, welcome,
Minister
welcome.
LaDon. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for just reaching out and trusting and believing that this is information that needs to be presented and awareness needs to go forth. It is definitely a public safety issue that involves, that concerns and affects everyone. So I just thank you for having me tonight.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We thank
you, know, my
you
heart.
For accepting.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And you, I was just going to throw a comment out there because my spirit and my heart is just so ready to receive right now. It's like it's unexplainable. I can't really explain.
Wow.
For this information to go forth, you know, we were having a discussion before we started the show. And, you know, I truly am so blessed by my partner because when God puts it on her heart to do a show, she's so committed. She's so committed. And we've been, like she said, excited about the show for a long time. But when we were talking about this show earlier in the green room, one of the things that, you know, was placed on me, and I'm sure the Spirit of God is really pushing this on me right now, is that sometimes we don't even know that we're in a an abusive relationship or that we're being abused. It doesn't even be a relationship, but we don't even know that we're being abused. And so I think a lot of people's minds are going to be blown on this show this evening. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Amen. And so before we get into it, I'm going to pray and then I'm going to put the ball back in Coach D's court so that we can get, you know, get this show going. But I wanted to just take a moment to go before the throne because I know that some hearts are going to be pricked this evening. Some spirits are going to be pricked this evening. And we just want we want everyone that's listening to be under the covering of the Holy Spirit. So I'm
yes,
just going to take a moment to just go before the throne. Father God, we come before your throne. We empty out ourselves of ourselves, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for this platform that you've given us. We thank you for the words that you've placed in the woman of God that that she's going to be speaking into your women, or into your children, because I know men are going to be listening to this show this evening. Mm. Father, we thank you for the healing that's going to go forth, Father God. We thank you for the understanding that's going to go forth, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're going to be working on some hearts and some minds, Father God. For those people who may be the abusers, Father God, you're going to be working on their minds this evening, Father God. And for those people that think that they can't get help or they're so afraid, Father God, you're going to be working on their hearts and minds as well, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, that everyone that's supposed to be listening to this show will be listening to this show this evening, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that the archives will even go forth and will be blessing beyond this moment, Lord Jesus. We thank you for just the way that you're reconstructing the family unit, Father God, that you're reconstructing your people, Lord Jesus, that you're rebuilding us, Father God, and you're making us not of this world, Father God. You're making us the heads and not the tails, Father God. So we just thank you. We give you this show. We give you this time. And we ask you to do have your way. Do as you will.
Yes.
And we
humbly
submit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, what I would just like to do is, Tracy, if you could just kind of share their some listening in on tonight that may know you. There are many that's listening in that don't know you. They don't know your story. They don't know what you're doing. I know there's a lot of information that you have and you want people to know, and we know it can't all possibly fit in one show. We're going to have some points that we're going to focus on in hopes of being able to bring you back so that you could, share more information, because we really want those that dealing with, domestic violence, some knowingly that they are, some not even knowing or realizing that they are. But we just want them to have the tools and resources to be able to get the help that they need to, to turn their situation around. And I was getting ready to say to get out of the situation. And I want to be careful for what I say, but definitely to turn the situation around. And if that means get away from the situation or take the necessary steps for the situation to get better, that's what we want them to get on tonight. So can you share with us, who is Tracy?
Wow. Tracy is someone who, I mean, if you take it back to the beginning, I was raised in a single parent home, also with my grandmother in the home. I was not raised in the home with my father. I had a very loving family. I never witnessed any abuse in my home. I had a very happy childhood. I navigated through high school, was very outgoing, very active, cheerleader, captain of my squad, homecoming queen, really involved in everything. I've loved people, and I want to say people loved me too, and I was friendly and had a lot of friends and just really loved life. And then more life happened, and I got married and I had a child at age 23, and that relationship didn't work out just because we were young, and we really shouldn't have gotten married, but we had a child and just wanted to do what we thought was the next thing to do. And so that relationship dissolved quickly. No abuse, just two young kids that really weren't ready for marriage and what came with marriage. So at that point, I had a two-year-old, almost three-year-old child when I did meet someone who I would then get involved with and begin this journey that didn't start out abusive, but yet very, very charismatic, very charming. He was wonderful to me and my child, and things moved quickly. And here I am searching to just have this family that I never had. And really, that was the desire of my heart. I wanted an intact home so desperately. And I didn't grow up in one. I didn't watch my mom in one. I didn't watch my grandmother in one. I was going to have that. And this man just really came in and was just very there for me, making me think that I just felt like a queen. He treated me well, and just, it was just great. Well, things quickly escalated. I must have been pregnant within the first month of dating, and then I could not have been more than 4 months pregnant when I had encountered my first abusive situation with him. And something, I don't know, I didn't clean the home right, or I didn't clean it to his expectation. Whatever it was that set him off, I was blown away. I was shocked. I wasn't quite 4 months pregnant, because it was very early in my term, and I left him immediately, and I went to my mom's, and I called, and I scheduled an abortion. If I may be so transparent, I scheduled that abortion, and I was just like, oh, you know, there is no way that someone is going to call me that. It was the first time anyone had ever called me a derogatory name, and I left. Well, he called soon afterwards, extremely apologetic, you know, come back and I'm sorry, and just explained whatever it was that he was going through at that time. Because I was familiar with what abuse was, I had no idea that I was beginning to enter into the cycle of abuse, where you have the honeymoon stage, tension building, blowout. Calming, honeymoon stage, tension building, blowout. I had no idea. I believed that it was a genuine apology, and he was genuinely remorseful. And I went back, and I continued on with my pregnancy. So the next time there was another encounter, I was much further along in my pregnancy, 4-5 months. Time he had ever put me up against a wall and had his, and was choking me, had his, I mean, it, I wasn't being choked where I could not breathe. It was more of a, don't you dare disrespect me. Don't you dare talk to me like that. Whatever it was. Again, I don't remember the incident, but it was an intimidation. He was instilling fear tactics. He was doing these things. I said I was going to call the police. Call the effing police. You know, and I just was like, and I'm way far in my pregnancy now. So now I really don't know what's happening. I don't know what I'm involved in, but I have a 3-year-old and I am 5 months pregnant. So now I'm just like, okay, I just don't want to, I want to prevent it from happening again. So I'm learning each time my own abuse, which I will tell you right now, you cannot prevent your own abuse. Abusers abuse, that's what they do. But I am trying to behave in a way to prevent my own abuse. And abuse doesn't get better. It gets worse. So there is no preventing it. You may be able to delay it, by, you can't see my air quotes, but by behaving, you may be able to you know, create yourself, make yourself a small target when any kind of abuse escalates. But you cannot prevent your abuse if you are dealing with an abuser. Abusers abuse. So as I continued my pregnancy, I ended up going into labor very early, seven months or so. My daughter was born 10 weeks early. Like I said, I was going through the cycle, you know, and each time we enter into a honeymoon stage, we get more invested in the relationship and I become more involved in ways that make it very hard for me to leave. We buy pieces of property. We take trips. And with abusers also, what you have to understand is they are not always abusive. When it's good, it's amazing. So, and when you're in it, you're hopeful. You are hopeful every time you get to the honeymoon stage, believing what has been told, thinking that it's not going to happen again. So what has happened in those honeymoon stages? For me, I took trips. I bought property. I had two children. So now I'm in a position where I really feel stuck. I really feel trapped. And by my second pregnancy, it had gotten so bad. I was going into labor at 4 months. I had to live in the hospital. I was bedridden for 2 months, and he was born 12 weeks early. If you're not being physically abused in your abusive relationship, still so many different types of abuse that still can cause a lot of physical problems with you. So we are going to talk about that, all the different types of abuse. But I both my children were born premature, 3-pound babies. Praise God, they're both healthy and amazing children. But I lived this life for on and off for a total of 9 years before I said enough. And, you know, the last time I knew that one of us was going to die, and I'm raising my children in this. So I left for the last time when my kids were 6 and 8 and 11. And that's another thing, you know, people always say, why don't you just leave? Why don't you just leave? But there's a lot, you know, I was not educated. I had my high school diploma, but I did not have any college education. I did not have a job. I wasn't even employed. I had been raising my kids. So, you know, you can't just leave. You have to have a plan. You have to have a support system. There's just things that you have to do. And then if you just throw love in the equation, I loved this man. And that's a whole other thing. How can you love somebody who treats you like that? That's where you get into, you know, so many women feeling like they have to suffer in silence because it is very irrational and you don't understand it. And so if you don't understand it, you can't even explain it to somebody else. So it's just, it's a very hard thing to be in. It's a very hard thing to understand someone else that might be in it if you have never experienced it yourself or know someone personally who has. It's a very hard thing to – it's just hard, but it affects everyone. It really does. So I'm out. I left and went back and left and went back a bunch of times, but that's another statistic. It takes women 5 to 7 times or victims 5 to 7 times of leaving and going back before they leave for good, if they are blessed to leave. I raised my children and was single for 10 years as I just got strong connections through my church family and church groups, and I got my bachelor's degree in liberal arts because I wanted to teach, and then I got my master's degree in human behavior because I desperately wanted to understand why people did what they did, including myself. Why did I do what I did? Why did I stay? Why didn't I leave? I just really became fascinated and have so much passion with trying to understand why people behave the way that they do. And that list is, you know, you have childhood trauma, you have unresolved trauma, you have mental illness, you have substance abuse, you have culture, religion, you have, there's so many factors that contribute to why we do what we do. So it's a subject to talk about.
It definitely is. You know, I wanted to jump in really quickly. I have so many different questions and, you know, my mind is all over the place because one of the things is, I love how you said there's so many different contributing factors as to how, you know, when we look at our culture or different traumas that have impacted our lives, how we get involved in those situations. Because I think it's kind of tricky. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, even when you're on the job and you need your job and yet someone's being abusing their authority on the job, there's just so many different ways that we get desensitized to abuse. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so
yes. I
love how you mentioned that you try to basically kind of negotiate your way out of being abused, you know, trying to make sure that you were, I don't know if it was that you were trying to calm him down or, you know, what it is that you, if you were trying to talk him out of being abusive. Go ahead.
You're right.
That's what I wanted you to elaborate on that a little bit.
You're absolutely right, and it's the culture that we're in, and we minimize our own abuse. We downplay it. People are so unaware about all the different types of abuse. We do make excuses. Oh, he was tired. Oh, he had a bad day at work. Oh, he that's just the way he is. Why is it okay for someone to be treated a certain way or for someone to accept bad treatment because that's just the way he is? That's not okay, but we do it. And we cover up and we mask it. And you know, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, you're still trying to, depending on where you are in your journey, still hopeful, you're still trying to keep that relationship, you're still whatever, you are making those excuses. But I want to believe in my heart that everyone has a enough is enough moment.
I
really want to believe that.
You know, one of the things that go ahead, Coach D.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, I would love to believe that as well, but we know when you look at, you know, you could turn on different shows or read different news articles that people did not have enough is enough in enough time. You know, when you think about maybe, you know, for whatever the reasons, and there's many, like you said, people who stayed in a situation that cost them their life. You know, so unfortunately I would love to believe that people get to that moment, and many do, but there are those who don't get to that moment before it's too late.
Definitely. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask is, what are some of the most common abuses or that people find themselves in, but don't make, kind of like they don't make a big deal out of it. You know, it's kind of like, oh, this is normal. It's not really abuse.
Well, you know, for me, when I got involved with this person, like I said, he was very charming, and I came from a very loving home. And so when I to see how the family communicates with one another, they communicate in a way where I would label it as abusive, but they would not.
Ooh.
That's just where they come from. And so if you're doing something and it doesn't make sense to the mother or the grandmother in that home, she might say, "What the F is wrong with you, you stupid A?" I'm really trying to be PG here, but it's very
right.
derogatory and foul. And so the child stops doing that thing where my mouth just dropped. Like, no one has ever talked to me like that. So,
yeah.
So I'm in this thing now, and he's communicating with me that way. And although I left the very first time it happened and then went back and left and went back, and you know, years go by, kids and all of the things that I'm telling you, now, let me tell you, Christian woman, But I learned this because I still was trying to salvage this relationship and I was getting counseling. And as much as my pastor was trying to save the relationship, he got to a place where he said, "Tracy, two sick people can cohabitate and two healthy people can cohabitate, but you can't cohabitate with one healthy and one unhealthy, one sick and one healthy person. It's time for you to walk away from darkness." And it was a very light bulb moment for me, because that was just the way, that was his upbringing, and I constantly minimized it. I downplayed it. I accepted it. Now, if that's not further from our truth as Christians and being children of God and being kings and queens, I was just living in this world that I wasn't supposed to be in. And you become that. So now here I am, he's saying, you know, "F you, you stupid B," and I'm saying, "F you, you stupid M and F." You know, it's you become that thing. I mean, it's not where I was just, you know, this timid girl in the corner trying to hide from my abuser. No, we were going toe to toe at times. So I became this person that had to do things to survive in this sick, toxic thing, world that I was living in. Well, you know what? You can't change that person. So all you could do is change yourself. And you can't change yourself and still stay in that thing. So then you have to change your environment. So there's some of the things to answer your question. I want to point out a lot of the emotional and verbal abuse that I believe gets minimized and dismissed, because you do maybe excuse it or chalk it up as, "Oh, he didn't mean it. Oh, that he was just raised that way and he was whatever." But I want to go down a list of emotional or verbal abuse that people may not recognize as being abusive. But when they're calling you names and putting you down, yelling and screaming at you, intentionally embarrassing you in public, preventing you from seeing or talking to your friends. So now you have the whole isolation thing that takes place. A lot of times people don't recognize when they're being isolated from their family and friends and support systems, telling you what to wear. You know, sometimes as older women, we might not think that applies to us, but you have younger women and teenagers that are in dating relationships that, you know, they might be seeking that validation. Men, women go years seeking validation from men, especially if they weren't raised in a home with one. And that was one of my downfalls. And I'm over blaming myself for abuse, but I'm only speaking about where I had issues with my own self-esteem and my own You know, I had to see myself the way Christ sees me. I had to learn to love myself. I had to go through a lot of things. But unfortunately, I hadn't got to that point when I had entered into this relationship with this person who was not capable of loving me. Blaming your actions for their abusive behavior. That's something, you know, if you wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have done this. So that's when you start, okay, well, that set him off, so let me not do that again. Any kind of threatening to harm you, making you feel guilty or immature, threatening to expose secrets. If you've, you know, a lot of times during that, you know, getting to know one another, you share things. Well, when they turn around and use that information against you, that's another manipulation, starting rumors mm-hmm. about you. Threatening to take your children away. You know, there's so many things that contribute to emotional abuse and verbal abuse that it's just not healthy. And they may not either, one, recognize that they're in something abusive, or, you know, two, they that just becomes a way of life for them. And they just live life that way. And you know, it's kind of, I don't want to say, you know, who am I to go in and tell somebody that you shouldn't be living like that? But I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say that that's not living your best life. If someone is talking to you mm-hmm. like that, if someone is treating you like that, and they're not validating your feelings, but they're using all this intimidation and yelling and cussing and calling you names, and they got this thing where they just make you feel less than and unworthy, I'm going to say you are not living your best life.
That's a good point, because, you know, as you were saying that, I had a question, and this might skip from that a little bit, but I think it's a very important question, because you said that, you know, when you got out of your situation, you went back to school to get your bachelor's, and then you went back to get your master's. I want to focus on the master's, because you said you had a passion. You were driven. You thirst for knowing why people do what they do, behavior. And do you feel like what you learned, now I'm you know, academically, because I think it's a spiritual thing too, but do you feel like what you learned academically helped you to be able to forgive, not so much accept? Forgiving someone does not mean accepting bad behavior, but did it help you to begin to understand perhaps why he was like that, or what kind of abuse did he endure potentially as a child or growing up in his life that made him this person? Did you get a chance to, did you ever come to a closure of why?
You know, based on the interactions of all the family members in the home, I just want to say it was an upbringing. It was a way of life. I don't know, you know, what specific types of abuse he may have encountered as a child. I know he was raised in a home without a father. So for me, I also believe not having that role model. And so you, I don't know what he was so angry about. There's no closure in terms of this particular person, because he, to this day, does not believe that he was ever abusive or ever did anything wrong. He's just very, I don't even want to say in denial. I don't know. But to answer your question in a different way, I was presented with an opportunity by a friend who is an instructor at a maximum security facility in Castaic. And he called me and he asked me if I would teach his class, two of his classes for domestic violence for October, and if I would speak on domestic violence in his jail, in his prison. And I made up every excuse about why I couldn't do that. I was like, that is not my calling. I am here to help women or victims. I do not interact or engage with perpetrators. I am not trying to reform perpetrators. Perpetrators are my trigger. So I just wasn't even interested. And he said, Tracy, I just want you to pray about it. And I was scared. I was scared. And I didn't want to do it because I was scared. And I was really making up a lot of excuses to not do it, which God worked on me. And at that moment, I recognized because of the fear that I did have, I had to do it. And so when I did that, my heart was just pounding so hard. It was two classes. My first class was maybe 16 men. My second class was maybe 60 men. You know, it's a classroom setting. They're in desk. They can just, you know, reach out and touch you. It was very intimidating. And but then you had certain men who were really into the subject and asked questions and then started talking about their own abuse as children, started talking about being sexually violated by a family member, talking about what their mom did to them or said to them. These men were sharing their own abuse as young children. And not all of them were in there for any type of you know, sexual assault or abuse, but some were. And, you know, one story that I do know about, a guy was in there, he was fighting with his girlfriend. In the middle of this fight, he goes to leave. And the mom, his girlfriend's mom is trying to break up the fight. And when he goes to storm off and get in his car and take off, he ends up running over the mother and killing her. That's why he was in jail. And one of the questions that he asked me was, how long does it take you to get over the, how long are you suffering from the effects of the abuse that you went through? And, you know, it was such a good question to me because I can kind of see his remorse, and him and the girl were still dating. So that's stuff, that's guilt that he has to live with. And I can't imagine what the girlfriend's living with, knowing that, you know, the outcome of her mother was behind them fighting. But I learned a lot. I had a lot of insight. Now, coming out of there, I felt like Superwoman, and I felt on top of the world. I had this amazing experience. I don't want to do that on a regular basis. I did it. I experienced it. I felt good about it. I do recognize that perpetrators need just as much help and counseling and healing as victims. They have all been victimized. But, you know, I don't know if people aren't signing up for that job or what, but it's not just the victims and survivors that need help. These perpetrators need help also, but they also have to place, you know, well, you know what, this is where I come from, and, you know, I don't want to behave this way, but I don't know any other way. And, you know, I'm hopeful like that. My abuser, there's nothing wrong with him. Everything that happened was all my fault. As a matter of fact, there's nothing wrong with him. Everything bad that happens is everybody's fault but his own. So closure with that, no, but accepting that and not using him or that situation or what happened to me I don't blame myself for it. But I just think it's just very important. You don't have the power to change another person. That person has to want to change for themselves. So do you
right.
dig it out and wait? Are they, you know, saying that they are going to get help? Do they acknowledge that there is a problem? Or, you know, what are you in? What are you doing? So that's that person's call. Only that person can make that call. And as an advocate, I have also learned that, you know, a victim, they are the expert in their own life. If that person feels like it's not in her best interest to leave that relationship, I cannot tell her it's in your best interest to leave this relationship. You know, statistically, yes, the first 72 hours of leaving a relationship is probably the most lethal time that they'll ever encounter. So, it's just there's so many components. There's so many factors. You can't make someone leave who doesn't want to leave. When I was volunteering in a shelter, that was one of the things. They do not take women who a judge has court ordered this woman to leave her abuser and go into a shelter to get her kids back, because the shelter knows that she's not there because she wants to leave her relationship. She's there because she wants to get her kids back. So you have to want it. And we can't want it for you. So, you know, does everybody come out? No, Coach D, you said that. Not everybody gets there. Some people, it's just that's a way of life, and that's all they know, and that's all they will ever know. But, you know, for anybody that wants to will I encourage someone to go back to an abusive relationship who has left? No. Will I encourage someone to stay in an abusive relationship? No. But it's not my call to tell that person that they need to leave that relationship. I'm available for anybody who wants to leave. My nonprofit that I started is called Healed Women Heal. And it's exactly that. I left, you touched on it earlier. You talked about, you know, you go through your abuse, you come out, and then you go on with life. You go to work, you raise your kids, and you just kind of, that thing that happened to you, it just happened, and you go on. And there was something that was tugging at my heart that I felt like, how do I just put that in a compartment in the back of my mind and never revisit it? Like, is this going to surface when I try to get into a relationship in the future? Is this going to surface? Mm. Like, did I deal with it? Like, what happened?
Right.
It happened, but I never talked about it. I never got counseling. I never healed. What happened to it? It's still there. So I started volunteering at a shelter, and I was volunteering at this shelter, and I got really close to these women, and some women were sharing, you know, her abuser cut off her hair because men were looking at her. Somebody else, they poured a pot of soup on them when they were cooking, and then they, you know, everybody there had their enough is enough moment, and they left and they were at the shelter. But each woman that I talked to, I noticed was getting so much healing when each person was sharing their story. There was validation. There was acceptance. There was no judgment. Everyone was just listening to these women share their stories. And then I got in trouble. So they told me, Tracy, you're volunteering. You can't talk to the clients. It's for your safety. It's for your protection. And I was like, wow, how do you get fired from volunteering? So let me just start my own nonprofit so I could talk to women. And that's how I started what I started. I just wanted to talk to women because I found it so empowering and encouraging for women to have other women support them in that dark time that is very hard to go through alone. So here I am.
Wow. This is just amazing to me. To hear what you're saying and knowing that, you know, and I commend you that that you realize, okay, I went through this, I got out of it physically, but you realize that you could get out of something physically, but mentally and emotionally, is it still there? Will it be a trigger?
Yes.
Because, I mean, if you don't work with that, and I think how me and you even got into this conversation, it's been almost a year. But I was sharing with you, I think you were going to do a book or something, and I was sharing with you one of, you know, my story, and I've never really been transparent with this. I'm not sure. I'm not even, and I'm pretty transparent. Everybody knows Coach D, tell it all. I'm pretty transparent. I'm not sure if I'm ready to be that transparent in that, but it brings a lot of emotions, and even as I think about it, I feel myself with a tug of emotions coming up inside of me because I, you know, I may have been abused verbally or mentally. I can't say that I really had. I had a moment of physical abuse with a high school boyfriend that got abusive with me, and I recognized it quick. However, I seen a lot of abuse growing up. I seen a lot of abuse take place within my family. It was like common. It was almost like an era where men from the 40s and the 50s, the women's kind of, it was kind of this mentality where it was a male chauvinistic point of view. At least that's the cute name they put on it, was male chauvinistic, but it was abuse. And it was where the women knew their place. You don't talk back to me. You know, your place is in the bedroom and in the kitchen. And if I say do this, you better do it. I mean, I'm your daddy, so to say, and I will beat your behind if you didn't do. I seen that. I grew up seeing that. And I seen it so much so that what it did to me is the opposite. What it did was turn me into an abuser. And what I mean by that is I didn't just go around just abusing, but I had this defense mechanism that if you raise your voice to me, that triggered in my brain. Now, mind you, the 0 to 7 years old is where those are your informative years. 0 to 7 is where you get all the information that you need that New York takes you through life. Can that be adjusted after 7? Yes. But the 0 to 7, that's the trigger point. And that was a trigger point to me because I've seen so much. So I had this thing in my mind, if somebody get loud with me, if somebody jump in my face, that was an indication that I needed to hurt them before they hurt me. And I'm just keeping it transparent.
And
I functioned like that. From a little boy all the way up into my early adult life, I functioned like that. And so I was violent. Because somebody might say, well, I was just trying to get my point across to you, but my thing is you raised your voice, you had a certain look on your face, and all of a sudden these triggers would go off in my brain. Oh, my God, he's going to try to kill me. He's going to try to hurt me. But it took my relationship with Christ. It took me to want to know who I was. It took me to want to know why I do the things I do, why I respond in certain ways. While behaving, I wanted, like you said, you had that passion for human behavior. I had a passion to find out my own behavior. Why? Why? Why do I do this? Why do I do that? Why am I not having a successful relationship? Why? And I started doing that, and it took me to be by myself, to walk away, to not need to be in a relationship, to not need to be loved, and realize that being alone was different from being lonely, and that I wasn't lonely, but I was alone, and it was okay for me to be alone so I could make sure that I'm who God created and purpose for me to be, so that when the right person come along, I'm not so damaged that I can't receive my blessing.
Absolutely.
And that's,
amen.
Absolutely.
And that was my so that was my story. I was the flip side. I was the more of the aggressor when I seen trouble brewing. So I really, like I said, appreciate the fact that you realized that even though you were a victim, you didn't bring it upon yourself, but you realized, hey, I need to get healed because until I get healed, I'm just going to be damaging to somebody else.
Yeah, and
so
you know, that's exactly what we said. That you just are an example of what we spoke on earlier. And that is the childhood trauma that you endured that created and caused your behavior to be what it was. So that's your contributing factor. How many people are going to do the work, Coach D? How many people are going to have that passion to figure out what is driving their behavior? If you can recognize that the behavior is bad, toxic, unhealthy, damaging, if you can recognize that, and yes, I'm with you, I believe you have to know who you are in Christ, any of that out. But if you, how many people are doing the work and how many people are not doing the work? If you are not doing that work, I feel like you just repeat, I mean, it's the statistic. And one of the things that I didn't do was just write out a bunch of statistics to give you, because everybody can Google that information. But statistically, you get in multiple abusive relationships, you know, because you are not doing that work. So you are not fixing. And yes, you don't know when you're a child and you know, all of that stuff is happening and you're going through the traumatic events in life that you're going through that is creating you to becoming the person that you're going to become. That is all work that we do as adults when we recognize, okay, this thing happened to me, but it doesn't have to define who I am. Once I learn who I am in Christ, mm-hmm. I know that none of this behavior is lining up with the fruits of the Spirit. So I have to do work on me. So how are you ever going to get involved in anything healthy when you're so unhealthy? You know, are you going to do the work? It's a lot of work. And people just will go into one relationship after another because they do want that compassion and that relationship and that love. And I get it. I really get it. I'm not even saying that from a judgmental standpoint. I'm just saying that those are all setups for us to continue to repeat the cycle. And I did it myself. So I'm not saying it to be judgmental. I'm saying I delayed my own healing because I just was wanting so desperately to have this intact family. I still believed that I was going to go get my family. And then I had embracing the term single mom was the hardest thing I ever had to embrace. Accepting my shattered dream so I can start my healing was the hardest thing I ever wanted to accept. I did not want to say I was a single mom. I did not want to accept that my family that I so desperately wanted was my intact family with a father in the home was a shattered dream. And now I'm just like my mother and I'm just like my grandmother, and so much for breaking the cycle. Here I am, shattered dream, no father in the home, single mom of three. When I accepted that was what it was and my family was me and my three, you can do work. You can do work. And I have amazing children who have overcome the abuse. And they're learning how their father has contributed. They're just now learning their own triggers. They didn't even know what a trigger was until it happened and they start crying and she's looking at me like, Mom, I don't know why I'm crying. And I was like, I do. And I had to explain what happened. And then she's like, wow, she's 19 years old and she's in college and she's away and she's meeting people and she has the childhood trauma and she reacts and responds in ways to protect herself and she has to navigate through that, and I'm here to help her. So,
amen.
Yeah,
it's tough. It's tough.
I definitely want to.
But you know, and you're doing an amazing job. I'm sorry.
You definitely
Thank
are.
You.
You are. I want to just throw out there for those of you who are listening and you're listening online, if you have a question or you have a comment and you want to join the discussion, you want to ask something of Tracy, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That way our team will know that you have a question or comment, and they'll be able to bring you into the studio. Just press 1 on your dial pad, and you'll be brought into the discussion. And while I put that out there into the atmosphere, I did want to say that, Tracy, would you say that when people don't deal with it mentally, that although they can walk away from one type of abuse, they usually end up walking into a different type of abuse. I mean, like maybe you don't walk away from physical abuse. I mean, maybe you walk away from physical abuse and you're like, okay, I'm done. I'm not being physically abused anymore. But then they usually find themselves in mentally abusive relation or psychologically or emotionally abusive situation.
Yes, and I have had people say that. And you can hear the joy in that conversation. You know, well, this one doesn't hit me, though. And I'm kind of like I have to gather myself and make sure I don't respond inappropriately, because they're okay with this because this one doesn't hit them, though. And it hurts my heart, and it's not okay. It's not okay. You are being abused, but again, they have to want to leave. And I have had several people who have told me that their child is in something, and will I talk to them? Or they have a friend or whoever is in something, and can I please talk to them? And they give me their number. I cannot do that. I cannot call someone because someone else wants them to get out of it. It doesn't work. They end up not coming to you anymore. And then you don't know if they're back in the honeymoon stage. So they have to want it. And all you can do is listen. And it's very hard for some people, and not everyone can do this. You know, I have people who just cannot understand abuse. They just can't. And I said, okay, well, I can't talk to you. And so they said, no, but I want to understand it. And so we'll have a very mature dialogue going back and forth with this person trying to understand, you know, why do they not leave? Why do they still do this? And why there's just so many I just don't understand. And again, Coach D, that list. You know, unresolved trauma, childhood trauma, upbringing, culture, religion, substance abuse, whatever it is that they endured that contributed to them becoming who they became, they're in it. And when they're ready to get out, then we have to help navigate them, whether that's connecting them with resources, whether that's connecting them with other survivors who can be their little sideline cheerleaders, motivating them, encouraging them when they're getting weak. I got weak. I wanted to go back. I was still in love with my abuser. I just had to make a conscious decision to love myself more. I had to make a decision for my children. So, you know, women all the time, but I love him. I get that. You have to love yourself. So again, what did you endure as a child to make you believe that this type of love is sufficient and acceptable? There's something you endured something. You know, for me, I thought for years, male approval, male validation, male acceptance, male love. I didn't have it, and I wanted it.
I love that you shared that, because I'm glad that you shared that. That's a key. You know, you said a lot of key things tonight, a lot of key things, and that's definitely one of the key things, is because we have to realize that just as much as the abuser is dealing with, if not dealing with a sickness, is not dealing with their own issues, even the victim is dealing with something, because in order for anyone to stand a situation, it speaks deeper. And we always want to be judgmental, like you said, just be on the top. How can they say this? How can they do this? How can they do that? Even like when we see people on drugs, you know, oh, they're just a crackhead, and oh my God, I wouldn't do that. Don't they know better? It's destroying their body. But what people don't realize is that's just a symptom. There's something
yep.
that's deeper that makes somebody want to abuse their body like that. They're trying to numb a pain. An abuser, it could be various reasons, but there's something. They didn't just wake. They didn't. They weren't just born and all of a sudden say, "I want to beat everybody up. I want to be mean." Something happened in their 0 to 7 that caused them
yes.
to begin to respond like that. The anger, you know, anger. You don't just be angry. It's things that trigger anger. Not getting the proper. People don't even notice something as simple as a mother, the love and nurturing of a mother, for example. That 0 to 7 is when that nurturing takes place. If you had a mother that was dealing with her own issues of abandonment, rejection, or abuse, and now she has you, and she don't even know how to nurture you. She don't need, know how to love you and love on you and give you that security that you need, then guess what? Now she's breeding another
yes.
person that's going to have some kind of emotional or mental issue. And so we don't realize
yes.
that. If you've seen your dad, you know, a young man could have came in a household with two parents and the dad was abusive, and he's seen his dad abuse his mom verbally or mentally or physically. And as a little boy, that angered him. And he said, when I get old, I would never do that to my wife. I would never do that to my wife. And then all of a sudden, he's at work. It's a stressful day at work. Things ain't going the way he planned. He come home, he's tired. The house ain't clean. Dinner not on the table, whatever. Next thing he know, he hit his wife. And he's hurt because he said, oh, my God, I said I would never do that. But he did it. Why? You see, there's triggers, and I'm not making it okay.
Yes.
I'm just saying we got to get to the bottom line, and we got to get to the root cause of why people behave a certain way, not making excuses, but if we don't get to that root cause, they'll never be able to be any better than what they were.
Yeah, and it'll just continue to happen. We have to heal
exactly.
ourselves by getting to the root cause. Absolutely.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, this has been an amazing show. Minister LaDonna, I don't know if you have some other things. Guys, I want to keep it going. Tracy, I know.
Isn't it easy to just talk about this?
There's so many avenues that you could go in and, you know, and I know we're going to be having next week. We have another special guest that will be on next week, and our goal is to have a guest every Wednesday. On this subject matter. Tracy was able to share her personal journey. She was able to share where the vision that the Lord gave her with finding her nonprofit, Healed Woman Heal. Now, there are some other things that she could really share from, and my hope is that her calendar would allow her one more Wednesday this month to come on, because what I would like to be able to talk about is some statistics, because we talk about women being abused, but there's also men that are being abused. But because men have this pride or ego to say, I'm a man, or people say, how can this man be abused? But there are men that's being abused. And so we want to talk about some statistics, and I know we can't get into that tonight because we really have exceeded our time, and we want to respect our guest time and our audience time, but we would love to, Tracy, bring you back and start talking about two things. I want to focus on statistics, and I want to focus on resources and tools that's available to people that want to get out or know people that's going through this and they're trying to find a way out and fearing for their life, because more chances than not, a lot of times people stay in a situation and it's driven by, like you said, intimidation and fear. If I leave, will he kill me? Because some people have been told, if you leave, I'm going to kill you and kill me. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill the family. And so we want to talk about some of those things, that the psychological warfare that a victim is in, and just figured out some ways that we could give some resources and tools. Like you said, we can't make people lead, but some people just need to know what's available to
yeah.
me. How can I get out
Plant
of this and be safe?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I love that you're doing this month. I appreciate you guys so much.
Oh, well, we appreciate you, and we just really thank you for being willing to come and sow seeds and, like you said, plant the seeds and be able to be a wealth of wisdom and information to our listening audience who is listening in on tonight. Again, audience, we thank you for tuning in to this episode of Woman to Woman. And myself and Minister LaDon, we want to just thank our special guest, Tracy, for inspiring us, because encouraging and inspiring us to want to do this about domestic violence, and her having the resources and tools to give us to be able to do it and share some light on this subject. And again, continue to tune in the rest of this month. Every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we will be speaking on domestic violence, bringing awareness, bringing tools and resources for people to be able to get out. If you have a story of triumph that you would like to share, please inbox us on Woman to Woman. That's our page on Facebook. If you are
yes.
on Tracy's page or Minister LaDon's or my page, just send us a message letting us know, hey, I have a story. You know, we may not be able to give you a whole show, but we may be able to give you 10 minutes to share your story. If you are right now
Amen.
Going through an abusive situation and you're hopeless and you're just needing hope, you're needing out, please, we could keep it confidential. Please hit us up. I could connect you with Tracy, where she could give you the resources you need to get the help you need.
Yes.
We don't want you to have to do this alone. You don't have to do this alone. There is help out there. There are support groups out there. There are people out there. There are safe houses out there, amen? But you just have to
amen.
Say yes.
Amen.
And be willing. And we want to
yes.
make sure that we get you what you need, and we could do it confidentially. We don't have to share your information with anyone. I could connect you to Tracy, and she could make sure, start the process to help you in your situation. So,
yes.
Tracy, is there
we
any
have
final
amazing,
things that
I'm sorry, I know we're over in time.
Yeah. Well, I just
any final
there,
thing,
Minister. Yeah, I didn't know if there's any final thing, because we have people listening now, but we're gonna have people that's gonna listen that may have not been able to make this show. And is there any final words that you would like to tell to someone that may be listening, that's going through this, or know somebody that's going through this and they feel hopeless?
Me, myself, I want to say reach out, contact the show, Coach D, Minister LaDon. If you are in something and you just want to talk, if you have questions about what you're going through and you just want help navigating through your situation, we have resources. I have an amazing support system that would be willing to be available for that. For anyone that might know someone that's struggling with someone, I want to read something. I want to leave with this because it could make a difference in somebody's life who is in something. So I just want to read something that's titled "Listen," and find unknown. When I ask you to listen to me and you start giving me advice, you have not done what I asked. When I ask you to listen to me and you begin telling me why I shouldn't feel that way, you are trampling on my feelings. When I ask you to listen to me and you feel you have to do something to solve my problem, you have failed me, strange as that may seem. Listen. All I ask was that you listen, not talk or do, just hear. Advice is cheap. A stamp will get you both Dear Abby and Bill Graham in the same newspaper, and I can do for myself. I'm not helpless. Maybe discouraged and faltering, but not helpless. When you do something for me that I can and need to do for myself, you contribute to my fear and inadequacy. But when you accept as a simple fact that I do feel what I feel, no matter how irrational, then I can quit trying to convince you that I can get, and I can get about my business of understanding what's beyond this irrational feeling. And when that's clear, the answers are obvious and I don't need advice. Irrational feelings make sense when we understand what's behind them. Perhaps that's why prayer works sometimes for people, because God is mute and he doesn't give us advice or try to fix things. He just listen and let you work it out for yourself. So please listen and just hear me. And if you want to talk, wait a minute for your turn. So I think a huge thing that anybody can do to offer help to anyone that's going through something is listen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, again, of course, this is Minister LaDon. I want to say a special thank you to our guest, Tracy. And then, of course, thank you to our listening audience. You guys have heard a lot of information this evening. Please don't let it fall on deaf ears. Please make sure that if you know somebody who is in an abusive situation, or if you think you might be in an abusive situation, or even think that you might be an abuser, there's resources that are available to help you. Again, reach out to us on our pages. And then, of course, there's the information, the Center for Domestic Violence as well. But please make sure that you guys tune in for the rest of this month, because we will be continuing this series on domestic violence. And, of course, make sure that you tune in on Thursday tomorrow with Coach D as she continues with the program Processing the Pain. Of course, tomorrow's show is going to be a super, super exciting show, and why wouldn't it be after a show such as this? So make sure you guys tune in every Thursday as you learn and how to process this pain. You get resources and tools and learn how to process the challenges of life. And, of course, every third and fifth Tuesday. Is the second and fourth Tuesday? Join us on Tuesdays with Minister Tomika as she teaches and talks about how to deal with loss, how grieving parents deal with loss. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we
amen.
Thank everyone. And we'll see you next week. Invite a friend. Everyone knows someone has been affected by. You are appreciated. Thank you. Tracy, just hold on.
Woman to woman.
Woman to woman. Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of light we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Woman to woman,
woman to woman, songs of life we bring. Songs of love and songs of joy,
woman to woman. Okay, Kayla,
Sing it down low for him.
Oh.